The epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians. The Apostle Paul writes, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as children of God. Because we are God's children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit calls out, 'Abba, Father.' For you are no longer a slave or free, but you are God's child. And since you are God's child, God has made you also an heir to the kingdom." Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight. Those things said that are true be engraved upon every heart, and anything said that is false may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. 36 years ago, Pam and Terry Moore prepared to go to church. They put their newest daughter, a little girl by the name of Erin, who reflected the sturdy Scandinavian stock of her mother. They put her in her best dress, a little white baptism dress, for this was going to be a special day to the family. They put a little snowsuit on her and wrapped her in a blanket and got her and her two older sisters into the truck as they drove to the Sugar Tree Grove Church in rural Monmouth. At the appropriate time during the worship service, they were asked to come forward to present their daughter for baptism. The family proudly came forward, especially the father carrying Erin in his arms, and while Pam, the mother, held each of their two older daughters by the hand as they came forward and stood in the chancel area. And then the minister turned to them after declaring the opening words of a baptism, Jesus' great commission to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he commanded us, and to remember that Christ is with us always, even to the close of the age. The minister turned to her parents and said, "Do you intend your child to be baptized?" And they replied, "Yes." Then the minister said, "Who is your Lord and Savior?" "And Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior." "Do you trust in him?" "I do." "Do you intend to raise your child within the nurture of the Christian community of faith?" "We do." All of those in the congregation were asked to stand if they were able and to prepare themselves to take the vow of being a godparent. Speaking on behalf of the whole church, the minister asked, "Do you promise to live in such a way as to be an example of Christian faith to this newest disciple? And will you support her family in the raising and the nurturing of this child?" And in unison, they said, "We do." The minister then took little Erin from the arms of her father, and with the basin of water for baptism that had been so carefully kept up in a cupboard in a box only brought out for these occasions, in that silver basin, the minister placed a hand and drew up water. And after asking the name of the child, said, "I baptize you, Erin, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then the minister made the sign of a cross on Aaron's forehead before continuing, saying, "It was for you that Jesus Christ came into this world. For you he taught and healed the sick and brought the dead back to life. For you he was betrayed by those whom he trusted. For you he was denied by those whom he loved. For you, he was crucified and then buried in a borrowed tomb. And it was for you that on the third day when the women went to the tomb, they found that it was empty. for you he had been raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven, where he now sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge both the living and the dead. All of these things were done for you, Aaron. But there's no way you can understand any of this. And that's the great mystery of baptism. The first epistle of John captures this mystery so eloquently and profoundly. We love God because God first loved us. And then Aaron was handed back to her mother and father, and a prayer was pronounced. Now, over the years, Aaron grew. She became active, a pretty typical small-town American life. She went to school. When she was in middle school, she picked up a musical instrument. Her mother was musically talented to a superb degree. In junior high, she fell in love with volleyball, and she played volleyball all 4 years of varsity volleyball in that small high school. Eventually, she went to college to become a physical therapist, and where she met and fell in love with a fellow college student. Eventually, they were married, and they both settled into a career living in the suburban Chicago area. They looked forward to starting a family. And when that happy day came, when a home pregnancy test showed positive, the whole family was ecstatic. Plans were made, rooms were transformed and decorated into nurseries. Doctor's appointments were kept, were made. And eventually the day came when their child was born, a little girl whom they decided to call Madeline, Maddie for short, a little girl who was rapidly diagnosed with Down syndrome. If I did not say that this initially knocked Aaron and her husband back on their heels, I would be lying, but they quickly made the necessary adjustments, and their families, both the biological family and their church family, of which they were a part, were about to enter into a partnership to a degree that had been unexpected in the past. After a few months, if not a couple of years, the family decided that they were going to adopt a second child. And Aaron and her husband decided that they were going to adopt a second child with Down syndrome. And they wanted to get a child from one of the more underdeveloped countries, a place where children with Down syndrome are more often than not warehoused and forgotten by their birth families. And so they traveled to South America and found another daughter, and they brought her home. Since that day, they've had two more biological children. Their family of six, in many ways, replicates the family in which Aaron grew up. All four of their children have their very own and distinct personalities, as you would expect. Each, like their parents, and like you and I, if we are honest with ourselves, can at times be a bit stubborn and aggravating, but we can also be caring and considerate, and most of all, we can be loving. I thought about Aaron and her story and her baptism when I read today's epistle text. The writer of the letter to the Galatians said, "In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." The text speaks of baptism and redemption and adoption. Underlying Paul's letter to the Galatian church was his belief that all religions and all philosophies entail a certain set of rules and practices, guidelines and codes of conduct that their followers are expected to adhere to. To Paul, it made little difference if we're talking about his native Judaism or any other tradition. But in this letter, his principal claim is that all of those guidelines and codes of conduct and expectations fall by the wayside because we have been adopted as God's precious children, not because of some law or not because of some choice made by us or someone else, but rather because God chose to do so. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, not that the world should be condemned through him, but that it might be saved through him. The baptismal font that sits in a prominent place in our chancel area is a visible sign of an invisible truth. We no longer belong to ourselves, and as a matter of fact, we never did belong to ourselves. We have belonged to another, the one who redeemed us, who bought us back from the one who saves us. It strikes me that in many of the decisions in her young life, Erin either consciously or unconsciously lived out her baptism vows, the promises that were made and that she later confirmed for herself, as did her family and her faith community. On this last day of the year, when many of us have either made or in the process of making or will make New Year's resolutions, you know, the promise to buy a gym membership, to lose a few pounds, to keep better track of our money, to watch less TV and read more books, to write more letters, to do any number of things, the best resolution that we can make is to live into our baptism 365 days in 2018. But how do we do that, you may ask? This morning I had a thought. I remembered something that Dorothy Sayers wrote. She once criticized the church for not helping people see the importance of competency. She wrote in her book, Creed or Chaos, the church's approach to an intelligent carpenter, let's say, is usually confined to exhorting him not to be a drunk or disorderly in his leisure hours and to come to church on Sundays. But what the church should be telling him really is this, that the very first demand that Christianity makes upon him is that he should be an excellent carpenter. Therefore, I commend to you, I challenge you in your New Year's resolutions to make these two. This year, I resolve to strive for excellence in every area of my life. Those of you of a certain age may remember the old Zenith television commercials, in which they said, the quality goes in before the name goes on. Resolve to be competent. Secondly, this year I resolve to do at least one thing each day that demonstrates living into my baptism. Now, some of you may be thinking that this one thing is a church thing, and let me tell you, it is not. God is bigger than a church. Although some people don't think that, that truly is. God's the ruler of the universe. Our baptism calls us to be bearers of Christ's light, and so I ask you to resolve to bear the light of the kingdom of God in at least one conscious act each day. And when your day draws to a close, do a kind of quick spiritual inventory as you reflect upon all the things that you did that day and determine What one thing you did that you dedicated to the glory of God? 2017 has been a good year for many of us. It has been a sad year for some of us. 2018 can be a great year for all of us and for this world if each day we live into our baptism for the glory of God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to affirm your faith. It is written in your bulletins, but it's also in 359 of the hymn book. This is called the Apostolic Affirmation of Faith. It is a slight variation of the Apostles' Creed. Join with me in reading, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, we thank you that you make all things new. We thank you that you have allowed us to live good and hard times this past year. In the good times, we're reminded of your grace, and in the hard times, we're reminded how much we need you and rely upon your presence to give us the strength to live each day. We pray that your Spirit will lead us each step of the way in this new year. We ask that you will guide our decisions and turn our hearts to deeply desire you above all else. We ask that you will open doors needing to be opened and close the ones that need to be shut tight. We ask that you would help us release our grip upon the things to which you have said no, not yet, or wait. We ask that you help us to pursue you first above everything else, every dream and desire. We ask for your wisdom and for your strength and power to be constantly present with us. We pray that you would make us strong and courageous in the days ahead. Give us the ability beyond what we feel able. Let your gifts flow freely through us so that you will be honored and glorified in our lives and others drawn to you. We pray that you keep us from the snares and the traps of temptation. That you would whisper into our ears when we need to run and whisper into our hearts when we need to stand firm. We pray for your protection over our families and friends. We ask for your hand to cover us and to keep us distanced from the evil intent of the enemy, that you would be a barrier that surrounds us, that we would be safe in your hands. We pray that you would give us discernment and insight beyond our years to understand your will, to hear your voice and to know your ways. We ask that you would keep our footsteps firm on solid ground, helping us to be consistent and faithful in our lives. Give us a supernatural endurance to stay the course, not swerving to the left or the right, or to be too easily distracted by other things that would seek to call us from our walk with you. We ask for your forgiveness for the times that we have worked so hard to be self-sufficient, forgetting our need for you, for being independent of your Spirit. Forgive us for letting fear and worry control our minds and for allowing pride and selfishness to wreak havoc in our lives. Forgive us for not following you more closely and for living distance from your presence. We confess our need for you. We ask that you make all things new in our hearts, our minds, and our lives for the coming year. Keep your words of truth planted firmly within us and help us keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. And when the enemy reminds us where we have been, hissing lies and attacks our way, we trust that your voice speaks louder and stronger as you remind us that we are safe with you and that your purposes and plans cannot be thwarted. We ask that you will be our defense and our rear guard, keeping our way clear, removing the obstacles and covering the pitfalls. We ask that you would provide for our needs. We ask for your grace. We pray for your blessings to cover us. We pray that you would help us prosper and make every plan that you have birthed in our hearts succeed. We pray that others would take notice of your goodness and cannot help but to say that these are the ones who show us the way of the Lord. Help us to be known as great rivers of justice. Help us to be generous and kind. Help us to look to the needs of others above ourselves. May we be lovers of truth, makers of peace. May the fruits of your Spirit be evident in our lives. Your love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control surround us, emanate from us. Shine your light upon us and over us and through us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. Set your way before us, and may all of your plans succeed. May we reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs peace and hope. May we be a light shining brightly in the darkness of the world. To you be glory and honor, today, in this new year, and forever. Amen.